Gwen and I are extremely grateful for the Christmas tree. We are so blessed to be able to serve here. And we love you and we appreciate it so much. We've always looked forward to the Christmas cards, and I wrote a little note to one of my pastor friends this past week that had sent us a card, and I said, we don't send out cards, but we sure do like to get them. That's real selfish, I know, but we sure do love to get them, and those that have pictures in them or of the family, if you'll come to our house, you'll find those posted on the refrigerator, and some from the past years, and so we can see how those kids are growing up, and just so grateful for that. We'll be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a business session tonight. We will have a worship time together, and we'll have a prayer time together. We'll have corporate prayer. And then we'll have a business session, I suppose, in that order. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I suppose in that order. And I want to urge you to come and be a part of that. And if you've not done that yet, there's nothing to be afraid of. You can come and be a part of what the Lord is doing there. One of the things that I've been reminded of this week is that the Lord is moving. He is doing. He is at His work, and He's among us working. A lot of times we do not share that, and I hope that tonight we will have a time of folks sharing what God is doing in their lives, how He is moving, how He's making Himself known in our presence and at this particular time. We have surprised me. I thought if we start having prayer meetings, people will stop coming, because that's what I'd been told and that's what I'd read. But it's been right the other way. Folks have been coming, and we've had more on Sunday in our Sunday evening service than we've ever had before. And so it's a real delight as pastor to announce that we're going to have a corporate prayer time, and folks come, actually come and be a part of that. It's something new for us, new for me. We're just waiting to see what God wants us to do and what He tells us to do. So hope you come and make yourself, take some ownership and make yourself a part of that. There's lots of prayer needs. Brother Eldon Walker is in a severe situation in rehab in Harrison in the Hillcrest rehabilitation part of the nursing home there, and in much pain. I hope you'll be in prayer for him, and I'm sure there's lots of other people who are have lots of other requests, but that seems to be the major thing right now. Would you take your Bible and stand with me as I read to you the Christmas story from Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter. And this is a little bit lengthy, but it is crammed full of stuff, and so we're going to look at what God has for us. What is the real meaning of this time that we celebrate together? What does all this mean? What about the Lord coming, the Messiah coming. Emmanuel coming. Jesus coming to dwell among us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, as we come to this time in your service today, Lord, we pray that you would anoint this time. Lord, I know that if I do this, it'll just be a zero. Lord, I just pray that you would take us to the rock that is higher than us. God, I pray that those things of the outside world would just vanish away this morning and we'd get into your presence today. Lord, I really do want to worship you today. Lord, I want to preach what you would have me to preach, not that's of me, but that's of you. And God, I pray that if there might be one here today that's yet undecided, someone who has not yet given their heart to you, that they would today, that they would surrender their very all to you. They would become Christians. But Lord, not to just be called by the name, but to have a relationship with you and walk with you and talk with you and know you in an intimate way. To look forward to spending eternity with you. God, open our minds today. Open our hearts to what you'd have us to learn from your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Who is this Savior that came to save us? Who is this? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he is the second Adam. In Revelation 19, he's the Almighty. In Revelation 21, the Alpha and Omega, Also in Revelation, he's the Amen. He's the Ancient of Days, Daniel said. He's the author and finisher of our faith, the book of Hebrews says. The author of eternal salvation, according to the book of Hebrews. He is the beloved of God. He is the beloved Son. He's the blessed and only potentate, according to 1 Timothy. He's the branch of righteousness, according to Jeremiah. He's bread, John said. He is the bread of life. He's the bridegroom, according to John 3. He's the bride and morning star, according to Revelation 22. He's the captain of salvation. He is the carpenter. He's the carpenter's son. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the chief shepherd. He's the chosen of God, according to 1 Peter. He's Christ Jesus, our Lord, according to Romans 8. He's the consolation of Israel, Luke said. He's the costly cornerstone, Isaiah verse 20, chapter 28 said, the counselor, according to Isaiah 9. He's the day spring, Luke said in the first chapter. He's the day star. He's deity, according to Colossians. He's the desire of all nations. He's the door, John said in the 10th chapter. He's the door of the sheepfold. He's Emmanuel, Matthew says. He is eternal life, 1 John 5. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Father. He's the faithful and true, according to Revelation 19. Faithful witness, according to Revelation 1. He's the firmly placed foundation, Isaiah 28 says. He's the first begotten, according to Hebrews. He's firstborn from the dead, Colossians tells us. Firstborn of the dead, Revelation 1. He's God with us, Matthew said. Are you excited? He's the good master, Mark 10 says. He's the governor, the great God, Titus tells us. The great high priest, according to Hebrews. The great shepherd. He's the guardian of souls, according to 1 Peter. He's the head, even Christ. He's the head of all. He's the head of every man. He's the head of the body, this church. He's the high priest, Hebrews 4. He's the Holy One, 1 John. He's the horn of salvation, Luke said. He's the husband. He's the I am, John 8 said. He's the image of God. He's the image of the invisible God. He is Emmanuel. Jesus Christ our Savior, according to Titus. Jesus of Nazareth. He's the King, John 12 tells us. The King of glory. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of kings and the King of the Jews. He's the King of Zion. He's the King over all the earth. He's the Lamb, the book of Revelation tells us. He's the Lamb of God, John 1. He's life, he's light. He's the light of the Gentiles. He's the light of the world, according to John 9. He's the lily of the valley. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the living bread. He's the living stone. He's Lord. He's Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's Lord both of the dead and the living, according to Romans 14. He's Lord of all, Acts 10 tells us. He's Lord of glory. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of Sabbath. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord your Redeemer, according to Isaiah. He's the man of peace. He's the man of sorrow. He's the master. He's the mediator. He's the messenger of the covenant. He's the Messiah. Are you excited yet? He came. He's mighty God. He's God with us, according to Isaiah. He's the mighty God of Jacob. He's the morning star. He's the most mighty. He's the Nazarene. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the only begotten Son. He's the only wise God. He's our Passover. He's our peace. He's our physician. He's the power of God. He's the precious cornerstone. He's priest, prince. He's the prince of life. He's the prince of peace. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the prophet. He's the propitiation. He's the purifier and the refiner. He's Rabbi, Mary called him. He's Rabboni according to John 20. He's the ransom and the redeemer. He's the resurrection and the life. He's righteous and he's the righteous judge. He's righteous servant. He's the rock. He's the rock of offense. He's the rod of the stem of Jesse. He's the root of David. He's the root of Jesse. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the ruler in Israel. He is salvation according to Luke. He's the Savior. 1 Timothy tells us he's our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. He's the scepter out of Israel. He's the sower, according to Matthew 13. He's the star out of Jacob. He's the stone that was rejected. He's the stone of stumbling. He's the son of righteousness. He's the tried stone and the true vine. He is the truth. He's the unspeakable gift. He's the way. He's wonderful. He's the Word. He's the Word of God. And not only is He the Word of God, He's the Word of life. I don't know how we could ever describe Him, do you? He is indescribable. He's beyond anything that you and I can imagine. He fulfills all of Scripture. He fulfills all of prophecies. He's all that you and I will ever need. He is our peace. He brings us the peace that passes all understanding. In this passage, I want us to see at least three things. I'll never get close to being through, but I want us to see three things in this passage. First of all, I want us to see that He is the child of promise. And then I want us to see that He's the incarnation of God. Now, I don't know how that can be to you. Do you know how God could pour Himself into a human being? But the Bible says that He did that. He became one of us so that He could save us. And then I want us to see that He's the hope of the world. So what is the meaning of Christmas? It's this child of promise. Let's look at it. He's the seed of the woman that will crush Satan's head, according to Genesis 3 and verse 15. I want us to look, will you look with me at the book of Genesis and the 22nd chapter and look down at verse 18. Now you may have seen this before, but I want us to see that He's the child of promise, that He is the one that we are to be looking, that the Israelites were looking for, and He's now gone to the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for us. He's died on the cross for our sin. There is not going to be another. He is it. He is the Savior of the world. In verse 18, the Bible says, "And in thy seed," God is talking to Abraham. Now I want you to pay close attention to this prophecy. He is speaking to Abraham. And He says, "In thy seed," singular, "shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." God chose Abraham, and Abraham was obedient. And now God says to Abraham, because you've been obedient, Abraham, you've become part of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the coming Messiah. Now look with me over in the book of Galatians. Galatians, the third chapter, and look down at verse 16. And when Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, he explained to the church that this is what was being said over in the book of Genesis, that God had promised the Messiah. And he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. And Paul just comes out and says it very plainly. He said, that's Christ. It is the fulfillment of Christ coming and fulfilling the Old Testament, Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Look at verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Now I believe that this prophecy is very, very important. You know, we're living in a strange society. I can't understand why folks would have any problem with virgin birth. I just cannot understand it. You know, it makes no sense to me that God created the universe and how magnificent it is. God created me and you, and scientists and doctors are still discovering stuff about us. I mean, do you understand how your body works? You understand that all the things that takes place in your body and how God put it all together? I mean, we can say God created us and then we have trouble with the virgin birth. we can see that the sun comes up every morning. Sometimes you can't see it. I told Gwen I was feeling kind of like Paul. He said he hadn't seen the sun or the moon in 30 days. I said, has it been 30 days yet since we've seen the sun? But it's up there. And God put it up there. And God created all of this. And the sap will run down out of the trees and the spring will come and the grass will begin to grow and the weather will change and the sap will go back up and the leaves will come and we can see all that and then we have trouble with the virgin birth. Well, we got some crazy folks. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Young people, don't let anyone tell you that that's not the truth. You see, this is what is going on. The devil would try to convince us that we don't know where we came from and we don't know where we're going. But you and I know where we came from. That we're a creature of God, that God created the universe, that God set Adam and Eve on the earth, and that we're one of the sons of Adam. And God had a plan of redemption, and it was a plan of grace for us. And in His plan of grace for us, it had to be a virgin that conceived and bore a son. Had it not been, Jesus would have had a sin nature. But He did not sin, the Bible says. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish in order for Him to pay Lenny's sin price, for Him to die on the cross and pay for my sin. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now turn over to the 11th chapter of Isaiah and look with me at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge. Is there any water in here? Somebody's been using. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And it goes on and on, describes that, talks about the lion and the lamb being together and lying down together, and the it goes on into the thousand-year reign of Christ. But this is the fulfillment of Christ coming. Now I want us to look secondly at the meaning of Christmas in the incarnation of Christ. You picture him as the creator of the universe. The Bible says that there was not anything created. There was not anything made that was not made by him. Now, there's a lot of things about the triune Godhead that I do not understand. And most of us don't. I'm not even going to try to explain it. I don't understand it. But in the beginning, John said, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so Jesus has always been. He did not, are you hearing me today? He did not come. He was not created. He is the creator. He did not come for the first time when he came to Bethlehem in the womb of Mary. But can you think of any way? I mean, had you been planning for the Savior of the world to come, had I been planning for the Savior of the world to come, how would I have planned that? But the Bible said a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. He became an embryo, then a fetus. And he grew in Mary's womb as naturally as a baby would grow in any mother's womb. And when the Bible says that when the time appointed had come that she gave birth to her first son, and it was Jesus the Lord. It was God Almighty that came. He grew fingernails and he grew hair and he developed as a child in the mother's womb, and then at that time appointed he was born just like a natural baby, and God had sent his son into the world to be the Savior of the world through the Virgin Mary. And he was born helpless, helpless, helpless. The Bible says that he became one of us. Is that not the most amazing thing that you and I could possibly ever imagine? Look with me at the book of Philippians, the second chapter. And look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But watch this. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 6 says, being in the form of God. Well, what is the form of God? In the Old Testament, it is described as brilliance. We talked about that in Sunday school class this morning. Indescribable, like a fire. It's the glory was their definition. Many times the Shekinah glory that shined in the tabernacle. In John's gospel, John said that we beheld his glory. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness how all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Well, we've got quite a bit more. We're going to stop right here. I hope that you don't make your way through this season and fail to catch hold of what it is really all about. Gwen's got a little sign in behind one of her nativity scenes that says it's really all about Jesus. It's just really all about Jesus. And we go through giving and receiving, and I love that part of Christmas. I think that's fine. I get excited about it. I get excited for the grandkids, and I just like it. But it's really all about Jesus, about him coming to die on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life. Really, we ought to be able to celebrate because of what he has done for us, what he has given for us. Let me ask you, do you know him as Savior? Is he your friend? If you were to step out into eternity today, do you know where you'd spend eternity at? Have you made preparation to go to heaven? Have you invited Jesus into your heart as personal Savior? You've made that decision volitionally. You've made a decision to choose Jesus. I heard someone give an illustration a couple weeks ago about someone dressing like Jesus, and they went to the back of the church, and they said, they sang the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And the pastor said, "If you would decide to follow Jesus today, would you follow Jesus to the altar?" And people began to give their heart and life to Jesus, and they did follow him. It was in a public meeting somewhere. And they did follow him. They followed him. They made a decision from where they were at to make Jesus Lord of their life. They followed him. Have you followed him yet? Have you followed him? Or is it just a something that we do because it's the thing to do? Are we here today because it's just the proper thing to do to come and be at church? Or are you a follower of him? Is he Savior of your life? We're going to stand together, and Brother Matt's going to lead us. Our musicians are going to come. And I'd like to, for this invitation to be in three ways. First of all, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you would do that today, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at. Secondly, if God has dealt with your heart, and maybe you've been dealing with this for a long time, and you know that you've got to come to a place to get out of the middle of the road and follow him. You have just been straddling the fence, but you know that that's not going to work, and that's not going to bring happiness in your life. You're going to follow. You're going to make him Lord of your life today. Maybe you're here and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship, and that would be to join us by transferring your letter here if you're a member of another church of like faith and order, or by following the Lord in believer's baptism. So as we sing today, maybe you need to come to this altar and just pray today. As we sing, we invite you to come.